Thank you, Vanessa. This is the roundup on this Monday morning. Thanks for your company wherever you tuned in. Across SEN 693, SENQ in Brisbane, 1620 AM on the Gold Coast, at 1170 AM in Sydney, and of course via the app as well. Our switchboard's going gangbusters this morning off the back of Nathan Cleary being ruled out of Origin number two, especially 6 weeks. They're saying that hamstring injury will cost him on the sidelines. Boys, the question isn't whether Hines gets picked, says our texter Tex from Ballina. That has to be a no-brainer. It's about who is going to partner him. And that is the question. So just for our listeners who may be tuning in for this half hour and missed the first half hour, Maddie, so you want Cody Walker into the 17. You want Nico Hines into the number 7 jersey. So what happens with the number 6?
Yeah, well, that's it. That's if you retain Jerome on the left, and there's a serious argument for that because I thought he was probably a best playmaker. If you retain Jerome in the 6, then Cody is my 14. However, if you go, mate, we're all in on Cody here. He's in great form, and mate, he's the guy that gets Latrell going. He really gets he knows how to he gets Latrell nice early ball. They just have a brilliant relationship. So if you put him in the 6, then I pick Damien Cook in the 14. As I said before, just because Coruscant can play 80 minutes doesn't mean he should. And I think Cook, Cookie getting out there, giving him 25 minutes, in that middle of the game when the big fellas are starting to wear out a little bit, he'd be just a big weapon.
Richard on the text line says a question about Matt Burton. With his sky-high bombs, he was in the squad for State of Origin number 1. Is there a place for Matt Burton? Does this allow Freddie to bring him in to the bench, into the play a little bit more?
There's an argument for the bench, Matty, but not as a starting half, not yet. Watching him play yesterday, he's getting there. Like, he's improving week to week the more he plays in the halves of the Bulldogs, but not ready to play halves at Origin yet.
Let's talk about the other issues that have bubbled up after round 14. Can I start with Ricky Stewart? We're used to Ricky, putting it out there, having the old emotion on the sleeves kind of thing. But this one was a different kettle of fish. Let's have a listen to Ricky. Just went off on the tangent about Croker's 300th.
When did we miss him, mate?
When did you miss him?
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering if you ever missed him.
It was 18-0 with 67 to go.
And then they scored 3 tries and it got a bit hectic there.
But you reckon Jared would have stopped those 3? And these Muppets who have been bagging me, they're all the guys who will read the textbooks and talk about courageous leadership, man management, and they'll go out and talk at corporate functions, but they can't actually execute it. And that was a big risk tonight, and I knew I was going to cop it. Cover from every one of you in here tonight if we had got beaten. But I was prepared to take the risk. That's leadership. Not these other Muppets who pretend they know.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Who's Kermit? Good. Who's Miss Piggy?
Yeah, yeah, the two old blokes up in the bleachers. Yeah.
Waldorf.
Yeah. He's mate. That's it, mate. He got the win. Look, I've heard Croker come out and Croker said, "My body feels great." He goes, "I've benefited from the week off." And we said that before. For Ricky, I don't think it was just, it wasn't just that 300th game at home alone. When those older players, you just got to manage them through the season. If you're going to play them every single week, they're going to hurt at the back end.
I wonder what Ricky's blow up would have been had they lost that match. I mean, he clearly had that in his back pocket ready to rumble, and he was going to bring that up regardless, and the anger that he showed with that rant was an absolute beauty. But the Muppet Show, Ricky, I mean, in terms of Ricky Sprays, perhaps we should judge it there. In terms of Ricky Sprays, where do you reckon that one sits?
Oh, I'd say that one sits about 7 out of 10. I've seen some ones during times where he's been at clubs that have been struggling, where he's gone seriously nuclear.
The Gold Coast Titans, the fifth time in 8 games that they've given up a half-time lead and lost, and 4 of those leads, Matty, have been by double figures. So, it's easy to focus on the stats, but the stats are starting to form a compelling reason as to why Justin Holbrook should be a little bit worried. How much do you pay attention to those numbers, and what do you do when they start to add up?
Yeah, it's a concern because, you know, it's a couple of things, Matty. It's defensive technique to an extent, but it's mainly confidence. Is that when things start to go bad, they capitulate. Newcastle had that problem over the last couple of seasons. You know, they'd be going really good, and then an error had happened, and things would fall apart. One of the things hurt, like what hurts the Gold Coast, like there was no Kieran Foran the other night. They got off to it. And so Kieran has been very good at times this year of just steadying the ship, slowing things down a little bit. The other night there were young Tanner Boyd. Tanner's showing moments, but yeah, they just lack that experience. The Gold Coast, they need one more really experienced bloke sitting in the spine just to manage those tough times. Because the thing about it is with the game, I think one of the most crucial things in rugby league is that when the momentum's going against you during tough times, how do we play? How do we play so that there's minimal damage on the scoreboard? And the Gold Coast aren't good at it. You know, there's errors. You know, the more errors, you know, breed errors and missed tackles and whatnot. Sometimes when the opposition's really starting to fly like a team like South Sydney, you've got to knock the ball into touch. You've just got to retain possession, as much possession as possible, and take the edge off them.
What about Sean Johnson's form? I mean, the Warriors overcome a depleted Dolphins outfit, 30-8. And Sean Johnson, I mean, how many times can we say he's winding back the clock? I mean, I wonder if he's winding it forward. He's in that kind of form. Is he the man that could lead the Warriors to the finals? They haven't been there since 2018.
I think they will play finals, Matty, because their defence is so good. I mean, they played to show how good the Warriors, like the two sides this year, who have been brilliant at the grind and pulling their attack back a little bit, just pulling a little bit back and pouring more energy in their defence, have been the Dolphins and the Warriors. But the Warriors out-dolphined the Dolphins the other night. And Sean Johnson, I don't know of a veteran playmaker who has had a return to form like Sean has. And it's mainly been, for Sean, it's mainly been on the back of doing less, taking the foot off the accelerator and just pushing the side around the park. But the other night, he did wind the clock back. You know, that the footwork and scored two tries. I mean, he scored 18 points. Pretty incredible. And a lot of credit to Andrew Webster. Mate, he's got that side going good.
It's incredible how much a happy club and a happy team is a very different team out there on the field. And there's no doubt, I mean, especially we say it week in, week out, the fact that they've managed to get home, everything's sort of back a little bit to normal, and Sean Johnson's in absolute fine form. The form of James Tedesco, you never write off a champion, we always say that. And I think I think the questions about his performance in State of Origin 1 were there. I mean, it wasn't a great game. Like I said to Tommy last week, I said, hey, he's played 20 games, and I think he's had one bad one. So it's okay to dissect a game and say, look, Teddy didn't play that well. I don't know how too many people actually, Matty, were saying that he shouldn't be there for game two. So the blowback for the critics, I don't know who the actual critics were to say take him out. If anything, it was probably a bit of chatter on social media. But I think it was okay to say that Teddy didn't have a good game.
Absolutely, it was fine. I mean, there is that, you know, saying, never knock a champion, but a champion by the same token isn't above criticism, you know, respectful criticism. And Teddy's form, what accentuated it, Matty, was the fact that he hasn't been in great form at club level. And there were a few murmurs like, you know, given the fact that Dylan Edwards was playing so good this year, Latrell Mitchell, there was sort of conversation going, oh, mate, are they starting to put a little bit of pressure on Teddy? And then he plays below his best at Origin level. That's what sort of kicked it off. There's been a number of factors. But, yeah, the talk about, you know, drop James Tedesco, just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And, you know, yesterday he was very good. Yesterday, Matty, he just returned. He returned to his strengths. Whenever the playmakers had the ball, he was just drifting on their inside shoulders. Very much all his football was centralised yesterday. And that's when you see the best of Teddy.
Couple of tries. He had a hand in everything. 173, I think it was, run metres. He was captain everywhere yesterday, and he was clear about his role. We might play that audio a little bit later because I did find that interesting. He said, "I just, you know, had the weight of the club on my shoulders, but also didn't have clarity around my role." It shows you what kind of headspace footballers can get in.
Yeah, Matty, and he's handled the criticism very well. I thought he was classy after the game when he was interviewed, because, you know, very easy to get the emotions, get the better here, and say, yeah, there you go, critics, stick it up, yeah. Mate, he showed a lot of class. You know, I think he knew deep down that some of the criticism was warranted, even though some of it went over the top.
Yeah, well, let's have a listen to that. Here he is on Fox after the match.
You know, for me, I just wanted to get back to my instinctive footy. I think probably this year and even in the Origin game, I've probably worn a lot of weight on my shoulders and just trying to do too much, and just wasn't clear on my role. I feel like I just wanted to get back to my clear role as a fullback. Yeah, get back to my best footy that I've done for so many years. So had a lot of weight on my shoulders this year from the Roosters and just trying to be a leader, and I feel like that's gone away from my best footy. So I think I learned a lot, especially after Wednesday, and just wanted to come out and get back to my best footy.
Amazing, isn't it? Rugby league can be a complicated game, but when you simplify it, and the cream rises to the top, quite literally.
Yeah, and sometimes, Matty, you've got to revert back to when you're a young player and go out there and have no expectations. And like that's the plight of the experienced player sometimes, is that, you know, you start to take on everybody's errors, if that makes sense. Like you get there sometimes, you know, when you're taking on too much, when sometimes you start an attacking sequence and three passes down the line, someone drops the ball and you blame yourself for it. You know, that's what you start to take on. With sometimes, mate, when you're down in confidence a little bit, you just need to narrow the focus and say, righto, I'm just going to pour all my energies into my performance today. And that's what Tedesco was alluding to there.
Yep, that is a champion who can bounce back like that. We need to take a break. We'll do a Neds update, see what the numbers are now saying from the bookies, with Nathan Cleary ruled out of Origin 2, plus Premiership odds as well, and we'll check in on the ladder after this.